following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome everyone to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. We are here on this lovely Monday morning, I suppose it is now, in the wee hours after the Packers 40-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans. I did not stutter. That was a 40-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans for the Packers, their second to last game of the regular season. A lot to hit on, a lot to recap. Let's start with the big night for running back A.J. Dillon. I think everyone going into this game, we were anticipating a big night for Titans running back Derrick Henry. And A.J. Dillon was like, nope, my turn for the spotlight. I'm back, better than ever. It's been, he's been back for a couple games now that after he spent 5 weeks on COVID-19 reserve. And over the past two games, he has been pretty quiet. He had one run last week for a gain of 18. And then tonight against the Titans, 21 carries for 124 yards and two touchdowns, his first touchdowns of his career. Tom, what set up A.J. Dillon for his big night?
Well, first, two things. That 18-yard run was apparently a precursor to what he was going to do tonight, because that was a really nice run. The other thing is, all I could keep thinking about was someone asking Aaron Jones about being overlooked by Derrick Henry going into this game. And now he's not only overlooked by Derrick Henry, but by A.J. Dillon, the poor guy. So it was a really impressive performance. And you know that Brian Gutekunst was just giddy wherever he was watching the game from, because A.J. Dillon was looking like a wasted pick for this year. I'm not saying forever, but for this year, they weren't going to get much out of him. And what they had really hoped all along was to get something out of him in December. And lo and behold, they did. To me, the most interesting part about it is that LaFleur said they didn't change anything in the offense. They just ran the same plays that Aaron Jones did. And you can see they're two different style of runners. Aaron Jones can bounce off the pack and get outside. He can, he's shiftier. But Dillon, you run him off tackle, and if there's any kind of, you can get him to the linebacker level, he's going to start running over people. And it was just, he was a man on a mission. And for them to run for 234 yards, it was just short of the 259 they ran for against Detroit, was phenomenal. Now, Tennessee's defense stinks, but still, it was really impressive.
Aaron Jones may be feeling overlooked compared to A.J. Dillon. However, he had a pretty solid night too. 10 carries for 94 yards, longest gain of a 59-yarder where he just completely sprinted down the left sideline and somehow managed to stay in bounds. Although perhaps he got away with one there.
He did. They didn't get a chance to challenge it. But, to me, what was that really stood out about that game was that Jones, he's working to stay in balance and fighting the conditions on the field, and the Titans are like letting him run right by them. It was really kind of telling about how this game went for both teams.
Every week, Aaron Jones finds a new way to blow my mind in terms of his balance. I'm just like, this guy's core strength is off the charts. I need an ab workout. Drop the ab workout, Aaron Jones. I need some pointers. But anyway, yes, big night for A.J. Dillon, but for Aaron Jones as well. Dillon getting these opportunities because running back Jamal Williams was inactive today. He had not practiced all week after sustaining a quad injury last weekend against the Panthers. We don't know when Jamal Williams is going to be back. However, when he does return, how is that going to impact whatever touches Dillon does get?
Well, yeah, that'll be something to watch. Aaron Rodgers sort of hinted that Williams would be back this week. You know, it's, I think what we're going to see is they're going to try to find plays that each guy does the best. And we know Jamal Williams is really good on screens. He's a good, really good pass protector. He's good between the tackles. I think you throw all three guys at him, and Aaron Jones remains the number one back. And, you know, if he winds up with 20 carries and the other guys wind up with two apiece, that's okay, because he's your bread and butter. But now all of a sudden, you know, you could give him a series off or two series off, and he'll be fresh in the second half. And as we saw, he got banged up a little bit today. Packers, of course, never tell us what the injuries are. It looked to me like it was a hip. Regardless, it's great. You got to be just thrilled to have three backs. So I don't know how it'll play out, but I do know that they'll have different plays for each guy, and they'll play to their strengths.
Jones was a hip. We did not hear in the press box. It was not announced in the press box what the injury was because Jones wasn't out for a substantial period of time. His status apparently was never in question, even though he sat out for a few
Oh,
series.
yeah, well, he left the field. Come on, bogus.
But thankfully, we have lovely live blog participants that were able to fill us in. Someone told me on the live
Yes.
blog that that the broadcast, the TV broadcast, reported that it was a hit for Aaron Jones. So thanks for
Yeah, so
part.
they're able to tell the national broadcaster, but they can't tell the press box full of people up here. So, okay.
Salty spoon is out, everybody. Oh boy. Well, listen, the run game clearly big deal for the Packers tonight, although I will say AJ Dillon has got to brush up on his Lambo leaping skills. Could not clear the first one, and he had a little help from Alan Lazard on the second one. So if Dillon, I'm sure Dillon would love to see his skills improved, get more experience doing Lambo leaps, which would mean scoring more touchdowns, which I'm sure he
Yeah, he
would
badly
appreciate.
needs fans to come back because they help you get up into the stands. So yeah, he definitely is looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's not happening, unfortunately, anytime soon. Even if the Packers have ticketed fans for the playoffs, there's no way there's any touching or
No.
dragging of players going on
Nope.
anytime soon. So that was the run game for the Packers. Easy to overlook the passing game tonight, or maybe really not that easy. Devontae Adams, 11 receptions, 142 yards, and three touchdowns. I mean, by Devontae Adams standards, last week against the Panthers, non-existent. And in the game against the Titans, he completely made up for it in just one go. And Aaron Rodgers had a very strong night to his credit, too. 21 completions on 25 attempts, 231 passing yards. He threw for four touchdowns, one interception, 128.1 passer rating. I believe that's his 11th game this season with a passer rating of over 100. No, I believe it's his 13th game, 11 or 13. It's an odd double-digit number, which ties his 2011 production, which was his MVP, one of his MVP years. So both of them just have a magnetic connection, it seems. Tom, why were they so in sync tonight?
Well, I think the lesson that they learned last week or were reminded about was that you don't have to force it to him. You know, if he's not getting the ball, it's okay if someone else is. You know, it's okay if Aaron Jones is dominating. In this game, again, they didn't have to really force it to him. He got his share of double coverage, but he also got opportunities to with guys playing press coverage on him, man to man. And those are the matchups you'll take and you want to get. And you hope that you get enough of them that he has a big impact. You have to design stuff for him too. But I think it all came in the natural flow of the game, or it felt like it came more in the natural flow of the game. And that's not what happened in Carolina. They just tried to force it when, if they would have just stuck with the run, they probably would have had a much better half.
Just to follow up, yes, 13 games for Aaron Rodgers with a passer rating of over 100. And then, Tom, to your point, something that Davante Adams said after the game today that I found interesting was that, generally speaking, at least in his experience, that when you play against a team that has a good defense, or a good team that has a defense, so any team, perhaps the Titans are a good team with a defense, then sometimes those coaches have the confidence in their players and their defensive backs to just say, okay, hey, go cover this guy. We want you to cover Davante Adams. Go cover Davante Adams. And they're not necessarily going to give that player a ton of help. So Davante Adams did not face a ton of single coverage. However, when he did, he was able to capitalize on it frequently. And so if that's how Davante Adams feels about good teams, I mean, there's going to be some good teams waiting in the playoffs for him.
Yeah, there are. And there are going to be teams that try to take him out. But that's where Dylan's performance is so important, because now the Packers have a run, three-headed run game that if Adams is getting taken out of the game, they can force that other team to play him man-to-man by running the ball and making them bring a safety up. So I don't think that many people are going to do what Carolina did, which was to just flood the defensive backfield with guys and totally make sure he was bracketed. Teams will double him like they did today, but not every single play. You just can't do it every single play. And when Aaron Jones is running on you and Dylan is running, then yeah, you don't do it so much anymore. And we also saw Equanimeous St. Brown just run right past the guy because there was no safety help there. He just had that guy one-on-one. And that was a 21-yard touchdown. So yeah, that's kind of, you can run the ball, boy, all kinds of stuff will open up.
Speaking of being able to run the ball, the Titans could not do that as well as they had hoped to do today. Derrick Henry was held for under 100 rushing yards. Can you believe it? The Green Bay Packers defense were able to pull that one off. Not a lot of huge gains for Henry on the ground today. He was able to pick up, you know, a 10-yard gain, an 11-yard gain here and there, but they were pretty few and far between. What worked so well for the Packers run defense tonight?
Well, I'm real interested to hear what Mike Pettine has to say about it. It's kind of hard to focus on exactly what they were doing, but just glancing at it, I kept seeing the ends line up, the two outside linebackers line up really wide and almost in what they call like a wide nine. And to me, I think all they were doing was funneling Henry into the middle and then counting on their guys in the middle to get him down on the ground. And I think, you know, Kenny Clark had a really good game. And I think the other guys, Lowry and Lancaster and Kiki, they just didn't get out of themselves. You know, they didn't play try to do too much. And so it just seemed like they kept Henry from getting outside. And that was a really successful way to stop him. Or not stop him, but slow him down.
You can never just totally stop him, correct?
No, but he wasn't a factor in the game at all, really.
Henry wasn't a factor, and Ryan Tannehill, for the most part, really wasn't a factor either. 11 completions on 24 attempts, 121 passing yards, one passing touchdown, a 40.5 passer rating. Not so good for Tannehill. And safety Darnell Savage Jr. had a really impressive night. Not only, you know, in the run. Yeah, I think this was the run game took this entire defense. However, Savage just seemed to be in the right place at the right time all night tonight. He had He had the interception. He almost had a second interception that could have been, looked like it was going to go back for a touchdown had he caught
it. He should have had that. Yeah, boy, that was a pick six. LaFleur said after the game, he told him, you got to catch that. You know, that ends the game. So
passes defensed would be the grammatically correct way to say that. Five tackles. Really big night. And what's so funny to me is that back in November, defensive backs coach Jerry Gray predicted that Savage would finish the season with four interceptions. Mm-hmm. And how many interceptions does Darnell Savage have now? He didn't have any interceptions, you know, earlier.
The Bears was the first game he had an interception, right?
Right.
So yeah, two in that game.
Right. And so now he's up to four. So if everything ended right now, who knows what will happen next week against the Bears. But a really impressive game for Savage. Why has he been able to come on late in the season in his second year with the Packers?
I think you just said it. Second year playing the defense, and now he's comfortable. I think he was a guy who kind of didn't know when he could take a chance and when he couldn't. And I think he played a little safe. I think he probably was thinking too much. And when he's able to just use his speed, when he knows where the ball is going, and then he can just flat out not think about it and use his athletic ability and go after the ball, that's what they've been looking for. And that's what they got. He's never going to be a great guy around the line of scrimmage, but he can cover and he can run. And you don't find guys like that very often, who can, in the secondary, who can run 4.4s or 4.3s. So, yeah, he's really come on.
Finally, seems like we got a complete game from the Packers on offense, on defense, and like as complete of a game as you're going to get from this Packers special teams unit. I guess there was really nothing catastrophic that happened. There was almost one big catastrophic thing that happened.
Yeah.
The Packers, Mason Crosby's field goal attempt was a field. It was a field goal. His field goal attempt was blocked.
Yes. Yes.
And the Titans recovered it, and they took it almost all the way back to score a touchdown. However, well, first of all, J.K. Scott with a big tackle made a big tackle.
Yeah, he kind of rolled on him or something.
That's a lot more than Scott has been able to show this season in terms of his tackling prowess. However, that play was called back due to a Titans player jumping off sides on the field goal attempt in the first place. So anyway, mm-hmm. Yes, a somewhat complete game on all three phases for this Packers team. How does that bode for them as they head into the playoffs in just a couple weeks here?
Well, it was perfect timing. This is when you want to have that kind of a game, and to do it in lousy conditions kind of puts the exclamation on the home field advantage and why they want it and how it can affect them. You know, but there is really, people have been talking about not being any home field advantage at all in the NFL because of no fans. But there's a few teams, you know, up north. Buffalo is going to be one of those teams that are going to have a home field advantage in the winter. And, you know, there's a lot of teams in the NFC that play indoors. The way I had it figured was the only three teams that probably would have no impact would be Washington. Maybe they might. But Seattle, they deal with all kinds of conditions, and the Bears. But, you know, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Dallas, who else was I looking at? Arizona. New Orleans, did I say New Orleans?
You did, yep.
Okay. I think that's it. So anyway, yeah, there is something to that. So, you know, all the Packers have to do is beat the Bears on Sunday, and home field is theirs. Plus, you get the bye, too.
Right. So speaking of playoff seeding, the number one seed is within the Packers' grasp. They did not secure it tonight. They could not secure it tonight with the Seahawks win over the Los Angeles Rams. So they will wait another week to see if they are the top seed in the NFC. And they could pretty much, they control their destiny. If they win against the Bears next week, then that top seed is theirs. However, if they drop to 1-1 in their last two games, the picture gets a little bit murkier, and it would depend on how the Saints, I think, are one team that could potentially give the Packers a run for the number one seed, but I believe it's the Seahawks that would
Seahawks
have
are
the
a
top.
Bigger, yeah, are a bigger problem. So this is basically, it really comes down to this. If Seattle loses the Packers, if Seattle loses to San Francisco, the Packers are the number one seed no matter what. If Seattle wins, then the Packers have to win. Even if New Orleans were to lose, the Packers can't win a tiebreaker with Seattle. So they have to finish with a better record. And that's, so if Seattle loses, it's over. If the Packers win, it's over.
So the Packers get to root for, Packers fans, I should say, get to root for the team that beat them in the NFC Championship game last season.
Right.
So
right.
You're all about to become 49ers fans for 1 week and 1 week only next week. Well, you know what? I guess it doesn't really, as long as the Packers, you know, win.
That's a huge rivalry game, just like this one is. You know, so anything can happen, and you know, don't count out the Bears. They've been playing pretty well, and they're playing for a playoff berth. So anything could happen down there, although the Packers tend to own them in Soldier Field.
Anything could happen. Week 17 should be a fun one. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to continuing to chat with all of you over on PackersNews.com. Make sure you're checking out all of our coverage. Tom, is there anything else you wanted to hit on tonight before we wrap things up?
No, just that it's 1:43 in the morning, and it stopped snowing, so won't be too bad driving home.
Oh, man, yes. It's 1:44 in the morning, and if we said anything obscene, our apologies. I don't think we did.
But, forgive us.
We're running out of our words for tonight. Anyway, everyone, thanks so much for joining us. Make sure you're subscribed to the JS Online Packers News Green 19 podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Tom and I are looking forward to chatting with you next week, or I should say it is now this week. So we'll talk to you all soon. Have a good night.